I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. When President Obama visits China next week, economic issues will take up a big part of his agenda. The U.S. and Chinese economies are increasingly intertwined, and there's concern in Washington about some key aspects of the relationship. That includes a big trade deficit and China's huge holdings of U.S. government debt. But like it or not, the two economies are now fused into one integrated system, says Zachary Carabel. He's a former investment fund manager and the author of Superfusion: How China and America Became One Economy and Why the World's Prosperity Depends on It. So, Zachary Carabel, I mean, it's a pusher and junkie, some people say, with China the pusher and the U.S. the hopeless junkie hooked to its products. But you believe that it's not about one side needing the other more than the other. You believe the two economies are super fused, as you say. Explain that.
Yeah, the pusher and junkie analogy would be the dysfunctional take on the relationship. I'm trying to focus a little bit more on the functional take on the relationship. Look, there's been this, incredible intertwinement of these two economies that happened gradually in the 1990s and then really gathered steam throughout the past decade and in a surprising way was cemented by this financial crisis the world underwent. And so I think these countries find themselves joined at the hip probably more than either government or either peoples want. But in the greater scheme of things, at least in my view, this has been a source of stability or more stability than there would have been in the absence of this relationship.
And I think a lot of people see this on a daily basis if they go to Target or if they go to Walmart and they see all the Chinese-made products there. But tell us where else we are seeing this right now.
So you're absolutely right about the Walmart phenomenon. In fact, if Walmart alone were a trading partner of China, it would account for perhaps 10 to 15% of all of U.S. trade with China each year. And I think the question for a lot of people is does that help the United States or hurt the United States? And what gets lost in the trading statistics is that not all that money goes to China. Some of it makes its way into the American economy by people who need to offload the ships that those goods come on when they enter the port of Long Beach. Mm-hmm. And then other people need to ship those goods to Walmart stores throughout the country. And then it gets sold, and that employs people. So there's a much more integrated way in which that money, which just looks like an import, actually makes its way into the American economy.
Okay, so I'm getting your superfused economies argument, and that may describe the economic reality, but the political reality on the ground as President Obama heads off to China is still us versus them. Doesn't the political reality ultimately trump the economic reality?
Well, that, I think, is the $64,000 question. And I think the quote-unquote average American, the average Chinese, certainly sees this relationship in nationalist terms and is uncomfortable at the degree to which there may be an economic linkage, particularly given that a lot of people feel that that economic linkage isn't doing them any individual good. But there's ample reason to think that the economic fusion is so intense that ultimately it's going to force the political process to behave differently. But it's going to be a while before politicians wake up and recognize that their ability to do what they want to do is becoming constrained and reshaped by this economic relationship.
Well, how do you manage a fused economy without causing disaster with each little tweak to it?
Yeah, right now we don't manage it. What we do is what we've always done, which is each government tries to manage its own national economy in the belief that there is, in fact, such a thing called a national economy that's the same thing as national geographic borders. And that increasingly is an anachronistic concept, but not one that governments have fully caught up to. So it would be great if in these meetings between Obama and President Hu Jintao of China that there was an attempt toward greater coordination of economic policy rather than discussion of mutual differences about national economic policy. A model for this might be the European Union. And as outlandish as that seems, it was pretty outlandish in 1960 to think about a European Union that was actually making joint economic policy. And while there's a lot to criticize about the European Union and its bureaucraticness, it certainly has been an exercise of countries giving up a little bit of national sovereignty for collective prosperity. So you could imagine a time when America and China undergo a similar transition toward making joint policy about fundamental matters of economic growth and economic stability. We're not there yet by any means.
Zachary Carabel's most recent book is called Superfusion: How China and America Became One Economy and Why the World's Prosperity Depends on It. Zachary Carabel, thanks for weighing in on this.
Thanks so much for having me.